there was food trucks that would come up to the job site. We was putting up a building. And he would always go down 10 minutes before the food trucks got there and get in the porta potty. So we
man had him a plan.
You know, we had it figured out. And he went down there and we duct taped all the way around that thing and hooked it up to a crane.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Hayden, Alabama podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Baylor.
I'm Carl.
You may believe it or you may not, but these boys got up at 7 o'clock this morning, Texas time, which is the same time, and made a drive across Texas. Did y'all come through Louisiana?
Oh, yeah.
Louisiana, Mississippi. Over into sweet home Alabama, sure all the way to the Shedio to tell some stories. And what you can expect today, as always, great storytelling. We got stories from long ago, stories from current, just good, wholesome, family fun. We had a lot of laughs ahead. Also, we tried something new this week, which we thought was pretty fun. And so we took a couple of current event news stories that we thought that were pretty bizarre, and we did our own commentary. On the news stories, we have one very special write-in story from one of our young fans. And then, as always, we brag on Jesus for a little bit. We got a great testimony and scripture time. So y'all sit back and get ready for a great night here at the Hayden, Alabama podcast. All right, Mr. Carl, after a long drive from Texas, I know you're ready to tell a story. Fire us one up.
My daddy run a grocery store. It was called Winn-Dixie. He run it for about 32 years. Well, there was this woman that kept coming in, and they knew that she was stealing, but they never could catch her. So a guy from the meat market came running up to the office. It was at the front of the store. And he said, "Mr. Jimmy, we've got her caught. I've got her caught. You just need to come."
Just come on.
So daddy said, "Well, what has she done?" He said, "She has got a ham under her dress stuck between her legs."
No.
Oh, yeah.
And daddy said, "All right, you just follow her." And he went over there, and at that time they had paper bags. And he got a small paper bag, and he went to the aisle next to where she was coming up. And he climbed up on top of the gondola there.
On the opposite aisle.
And he blowed that bag up. And when she got right beside him, he popped that bag. And when he did, she jumped. And that ham fell out between her
she
legs.
She really had it.
Yes.
Smacked right there on the floor.
I don't know how she done it or how she was walking, but she had a ham stuck between her legs and was shopping.
Yeah,
she was shuffling,
more of a waddle to it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
And daddy called the law, and he told the guy, and the guy has told Baylor the story out at the tractor place. Daddy told him, he said, "All right, you go pick that ham up." And he said, "I'm not picking that ham up."
Yeah.
And so he went to the meat market.
But you wouldn't tell Jimmy Bartle you wouldn't pick that ham up.
He went to the meat market and got a shovel and picked it up and put it in the scrap.
He went and got him a shovel. Now he going to pick it up. Yeah. He may not pick it up with his hand, but he going to pick it up.
I thought for certain that was going a totally different direction. Well, I thought we were going to end up in a real weird situation of trying to make her surrender this ham.
What ham are you looking for?
Oh,
no. But when he popped that bag, she jumped. Uh-huh. And when she jumped, it fell out.
That's a brilliant idea.
How did he come up with that idea?
He's bad as a bone.
You just have to know my dad.
He was actually going to deposit some money one night. And they don't make them like this no more. He pulled up to the bank to make his deposit.
Night deposit.
And was later than normal. This is how they knew the guy had been watching him. Because when he got out, he said, "Where have you been?" And come out with a gun on him. Well, JC just beat the dog out of him.
He turned and threw the money bags back in the truck.
Laid him across the seat of that single cab pickup and went to shutting his legs in that door.
Hold on a second. Let me put my money down.
Kind of like Brother Robin said. Yeah, he made a decision to rob him, but he made a commitment to keep it.
That's exactly right.
But he shot him in the hand. He shot the gun, and it went.
The robber shot.
Yeah, it went through my daddy's right on top of his thumb there. And they dug the bullet out of the floorboard of his truck, but he got the bags and left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that old boy didn't get a dime.
No, he got the bags and took off.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy did rob him.
After he shot him, yeah. He got away with the bags, but they got him.
And he just, you know, he fell back on the ground, Daddy did, and the guy just stood over him. I guess he jammed the gun because he was trying to shoot him.
Just clicking. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but that ham, that's tough.
Who knew owning a Winn-Dixie could be so
that's tough eventful. There. Yeah, yeah, especially in Carthage of all the places, yeah.
I've been to Winn-Dixie a time or two, but I ain't never had that much excitement.
I mean, a Dollar General, I mean, you can see it. I mean, but a Winn-Dixie, I mean, come on. It's supposed to be better than that.
I'm still amazed at the thinking through, okay, I'm going to get this girl, lady, woman, by climbing up on an aisle, popping a bag, and scaring her.
You'd be amazed at all the ways he thought to get us.
He's pro.
Y'all talk about coon hunting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big-time coon hunter, but when I was in high school, I had a friend of mine. That's what him and his dad, that's what they did, but coon hunting. And so I partook. I'm going to hunt just whatever anybody else is hunting. I'm entered. So we were going just about every weekend running them coon dogs, and then they'd gotten some beagles and we'd run rabbits and just whatever. And anyways, I'm not gonna say his name, but he had purchased himself a good bit of dogs. I'm talking to him about 20-25 head of dogs. Yes, sir. Had a big old kennel.
That's a feed bill right there, buddy.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot of work.
And had been threatened no more dogs. Well, a dog had become available whose name was Sally, but we called her Welding Machine because when he wrote the check for her on the memo line, he put Welding Machine.
Bless it.
Wife did the books.
Oh.
So we're not going to be worried about a Welding Machine. We said no more coon dogs. Mm-hmm. We ain't saying about Welding Machine.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about this Welding Machine for 6 months and nobody had a clue.
Welding Machine, yeah.
Sally was out there, yeah, but she was Welding Machine. But we took that dog one night, and y'all, I'm telling you, everybody just worked up. Just, oh, this dog right here is, you know.
This Welding Machine.
Yeah, Welding Machine. We turned Welding Machine out, and we were sitting there, and we was watching the dogs, and Kenny said, I think they're running a deer. And I said, surely not. I mean, surely not. Yeah, they're running a deer, I'm telling you. Hear me, you can hear. Here comes that doe run across the road. Here comes the dogs riding behind him. He's mad.
Yeah,
we get on that buggy, and we're looking at the Garmin. We're driving. I mean, and it takes probably 15 or 20 minutes to get back to the deer camp. Well, when we come pulling up, you can kind of see her in the headlights just kind of running. Well, she's seen the buggy, I guess, so she goes over there. Boom, on the side of the tree. I mean, all on the tree. She's going nuts. Well, what she didn't realize is that tree was dead and had fallen and was only about this tall.
Done found a lion coon dog.
They know. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she knew what time it was, but that was good to me. The old Welding Machine had done.
Then tuned up.
Done running a deer.
Lost a spark plug and wearing away.
Yeah, uh-huh. And went to tree and the ghost coon.
Golly. Mm. We had a lot of non-deer coon dogs that we hunted around too. That's not just in Texas.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of those in Alabama too. Some of them, if you'd call them hard enough,
lock up.
Boy, it'd lock up pretty close to where you started calling.
That's right.
Before we go any further, let's talk about our show sponsor. This is one of the reasons why we're able to do the show today. Toe Tether. If you watched our last episode, they've been so kind to allow us to showcase their product. They developed a new trailer safety cable. Shane, you the man that pulls this machine around all the time. Tell them the benefits of this thing.
Yeah, so this what this does, it gives you a designated place to hook up your emergency brake cable. Sometimes when you get in some of your vehicles, you may not have exact spot to hook up your emergency brake cable. And what this does is it loops around your axle and gives you a secure spot. So that way you're not trying to tie onto your hitch or your ball or something else that's going to break away and fall off. I'd tell you for sure, if I'd have had this about 5 years ago, I wouldn't have got that ticket from the DOT.
Ooh, there you go. That's the truth.
You probably could have bought a lot of tow tethers for that
ticket. And they wouldn't have shut me down. If you don't have your emergency brake cable hooked up, you are shut down in Alabama without the DOT. So this right here solves all the problems when it comes to meeting regulations for federal and DOT, most state DOTs.
And one thing I want to say about it, and this is not my area of expertise, but the impression I had when we opened the package, obviously we've got another package that we opened to use, the quality of it is unmatched.
Yeah.
I mean, from the steel, all the components is going to, I have no doubt they're going to last you whether you're in cold, hot, snow, rain.
Yeah.
It's something that's going to last.
I'm afraid they might have over-engineered it. And it might, they might run them out of business by being too good of the product.
Yeah, that's what you said. You said, man, this thing's really, it's going to last forever.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing. Shows a good quality product. So thanks to Tow Tether for sponsoring the show tonight. We really appreciate it.
Y'all were talking, I can't even remember which episode it was, but y'all were talking about jacking with people with tools and stuff. And I know they did it at the coal mine. And I'm in sales, so you wouldn't think that I have stories, but I do. As far as tools and stuff like that. But anybody in the car business will know this joke, but what we do is new people will come to the car business. And if we get bored one day or slow, we would tell them that we needed the lot stretcher. And they'd be like, okay, where's it at? And ask somebody, where's the lot stretcher? And so you would just name another dealership there in town, and you would say, we let the Chevy store borrow it. If you don't mind, just take one of the trucks, drive down there, and they'll help you put it in the back of the truck. They bebop out there. They get in the truck. They drive down to the Chevy store. Hey, we need to get the lot stretcher. Oh, dadgummit, the Dodge store got it last week. Run down there and pick it up from them. So you just send them from every store to every store until finally they either give up or figure it out. And they're just like, what is going on? And they come back and they're like, the lot, what, nobody has the lot
stretcher. Nobody has it. Yeah. It's been stolen.
How are we going to stretch the lot? And then the light bulb goes off. And I know that's terrible, but I love to do that to people. And we did it one time. Actually, Paul did it to somebody. And they turned it around on him. He went down to the Chevy store. I need the lot stretcher. And they said, oh, well, you know who sent you down here. We got you. Hold on. So they called down to the store. Hey, your new salesman come down here looking for the lot stretcher. Yeah. They're in your new Ranger. Yeah. When they backed out, somebody T-boned them, pulled right into the side of them, totaled. He said, no, dude, you're lying. He said, I'm telling you. He said, you're cooked. You had them out driving a truck, playing a joke. And he hung up on him, jumping in the truck, from driving down there. But when he pulls up, you know, everybody's standing out in front of the store laughing. Send somebody down here, get the lot stretcher. Ain't nothing wrong with your truck.
That's right. Turned it back around.
That's right. Yeah, flipped it around on him. But yeah, stuff like that. And you can send them to get the used car color chart from the service department.
Used car color chart.
Yeah. And run back here to service. Get the used car.
Oh, that's alive and well, especially in the men industry. Hard work, hard labor.
There was this guy that we was working on the bowl mills, and it was, you had to go up two flights of stairs to get to it. Well, it was cold. I mean, it was in the 20s. And he said, man, I got to go down here and go to the bathroom. I said, okay, we'll be right here. And we got done with what I was going to do, and we walked to the handrail there. And he walked out of that porta pot, and he grabbed his insulated coveralls and throwed them up to put them back on. And when he went in... They had went in the pot.
Yeah.
And it just went all around his head.
Not just his, but others.
Yes.
Yeah. There's your new number two story.
Nothing more disgusting than that porta potty.
But we had a coverall story, but it got to be his. It wasn't his in a plethora of others. Mm-hmm. Just our episode before this one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're two back to back.
Oh, I had never heard of someone doing that to themselves, and now I've heard it twice.
There's a better porta potty, better porta potty story that's not near as disgusting, and this is the one I meant for you to tell.
There was food trucks that would come up to the job site. We was putting up a building, and he would always go down 10 minutes before the food trucks got there and get in the porta potty. So we
man had him a plan.
You know, uh-huh. We had it figured out, and he went down there, and we duct taped all the way around that thing and hooked it up to a crane and lifted it up in the air and waited until the food trucks left before we let him down.
That's y'all did him dirty.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go down and get in the porta potty no more before the trucks got there.
Just a swinging.
Yeah, he didn't get ahead of y'all again, did he?
No.
See, that's the difference between construction workers and stuff like that. You can get away with that.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You in some sort of business industry, you're fired.
You do that now. Yeah. You wouldn't have a job.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a wrap today in this day and time, no doubt.
Let's take a quick break in the stories. We'll ask you guys if you're enjoying the show and you enjoy the storytelling. Want to ask you if you would think about subscribing. Hit the button. It's right there below the video. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, we'd really appreciate it if you'd give us a rating and also a review. I know a review is kind of that extra step to leave a few, type a few words in there, but it'd mean a lot to us and the show. But regardless, we appreciate you watching. Let's do some childhood stories now. Mr. Carl, I know you've lived a lot of life and you're bound to have produced some good stories.
Well, my daddy, he was a pretty hard man. I mean, you done what he told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we get up one morning. The post office had called. He had ordered chickens. He had ordered 250 chickens and 50 ducks. And they come in little boxes.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to pick them up at the post office as soon as they came in. So we got them. We had a little building there that was insulated, had heat lights in it, sawdust. And that was my job every day. When I got off the bus, I went to the house. I tended to the chickens. Well, I got off the bus, run to the house. We had a quarter mile walk. So there was something I wanted to do, so I was going to get the chickens taken care of. Well, I go out there. I open the door. You know, we got the heat lamps on them. Every chicken and every duck was dead. And my sister's Siamese cat was sitting over in the corner. So I just shut the door.
Oh.
Well, Daddy worked at the grocery store. When he come in that day, he said, "Boy, did you take care of them chickens?" I said, "Well, I tried to." He said, "What do you mean you tried to?" I said, "You need to come go with me."
Mm-hmm.
So we go out there and I open that door up and that cat's still sitting back there in that corner. And Daddy looked at that, and we had a big chicken yard out there. He said, "You get every cat in the neighborhood and you put them in that chicken yard." And I mean, we lived in the country and there were four or five cats around the house. Well, Daddy killed every cat around there. And my sister sitting there just squalling because her Siamese cat was dead. But Daddy made me go in there. That cat had pulled every head off of every chicken and every duck. And that was it.
300 beheadings.
Yep.
It was just like a game?
I guess so.
Cats are like serial killers, man.
That one is definitely a serial killer. All
Jack cats, man. Yeah. Uh-uh. Yeah, sat there.
Well, I loved it because I didn't like cats.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Man, that's a sick feeling.
Got him out of a chore and got rid of some animals he didn't like.
Yeah.
No, we ordered chickens the next day.
He said, let's dial up 300 more to get them out of here.
Yeah, there was always chickens around there for sure.
Daddy had a big chicken yard.
Yeah.
Just no cats, unfortunately.
Not after that day.
Well, we had another problem that was killing our big chickens, and we couldn't figure out. Daddy thought it was a skunk. Well, he set a steel trap on top of a cross tie in the corner.
He caught that problem.
It was a horned owl.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, he thought he had killed it. He told me to go haul it off. Well, I went out there, and that horned owl was standing up, just wobbling.
I ain't give up yet.
So we had a little cage there in the chicken yard that Daddy would put the setting hens in. Well, we didn't have none, so we put that horned owl in there. And Daddy would bring the old chicken from the store and feed that horned owl.
They had him a pet.
Till Green Pants showed up.
Oh, no.
Mr. Green Jeans.
Daddy carried it out to a vet and was going to try and get it stuffed. And he opened that bag up and he said, Jimmy, get that thing out of here. He said, it's a $10,000 fine for just having it.
Oh, my goodness. And that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. in the 80s.
That was $10,000 40 plus years ago.
Yeah.
They don't tell them what it is now.
Mm. No.
How did the game warden find out about it?
I don't really know.
How do they ever find out?
They know things.
But he sure enough come out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't no big deal, but it was just how you can't have a pet owl. Unfortunately.
You can't have a pet.
Turns out
it looks like the owl's doing a great job, but you can't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't have a pet owl.
Man.
And then Daddy had some coyotes.
I was bush hogging a pasture for a man there, and I run over a den. And I shut down for dinner, and I kept hearing something yap. Well, I went over and just looking around for it, and I ended up finding where she had them. And there was five baby coyotes in there. And I went to the truck and got my gloves, welding gloves, and I put them in a box and ended up selling them. They were going to breed them to German Shepherds.
Hybrids.
Really?
I don't know if it worked out or not.
What?
Yes, sir.
I've never heard of that.
They also used to pay y'all for ears, didn't they?
Yeah.
For what?
A bounty on the coyotes. You bring a pair of ears to the courthouse and they give you $10.
Really?
Yeah.
We got that bad.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a lot. That's just, you know, we have a real problem.
They'd go to the bank, get some more money.
Yeah, that motivated some hunters.
If they were still handing money out, yeah. I don't mind doing it for free, much less if you're going to pay me.
I worked with a guy that bought a black leopard as a cub and he raised it. And it was his
black panther. They won't judge me.
Yeah, it ain't a black leopard. It's a black panther now. We know the history here.
That's right.
Yeah. Of all the black panthers around here, this is where it came from.
That's where it came from, East Texas.
So he brought him in to work one day in the break room to get his check. And he had a logging chain. You know, and he had a good grip on it. Well, he was walking down through the table there, and it was break time. And there was a guy sitting there, and he reached out as he was walking by and grabbed that cat's tail and let it go through his hand. And that cat wheeled around and opened his mouth and just let out a rawr.
No.
He cleared the break room.
Yeah, I'm getting somewhere.
I'm not hanging out.
Tell him about that.
Go.
He's been cleaning that break room up.
We had this guy that went to the locker room every day, every night to take a nap during lunch.
His name's Steve.
Huh?
Was his name Steve?
You no. must know a Steve.
So he laid down on this 2x12, and this guy got a train horn and hooked a 1-inch air hose up to it and drug it back there.
Shouldn't have train horn. I worked in coal mines. So, I mean,
and
this
stood
is a
it
horn.
Up under his head.
Golly.
And went out there and turned that air on. And so his hair just stood out. It's
all fun and games with somebody's eardrums.
Son, he come up off that bench and he tried catching that old boy all night long.
Oh, man.
Great day.
A different world.
It really was. It was fun, though. You know, all done in fun. Obviously, he may not have heard for 3 or 4 days after that, but hopefully it all come back to him.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were good friends.
Yeah. It'll buff out. Yeah. It'll be all right.
What about you, Baylor? Give me one of your childhood stories.
It was a pretty big tournament, a baseball tournament. Anyways, Bo was playing. Dad was coaching. And I had slipped off with we went to church with him, but he was older than us, and he had gotten the keys to his mother's car or something, and we slipped off out there to the car, and we was just sitting there listening to the radio. We wasn't doing nothing per se wrong.
Yeah.
But me at 7 years old, 8 years old, however old, I didn't have no business to be out there in the parking lot listening to radio, especially after I hadn't told nobody I was going to the parking lot. So unbeknownst to me and my little Kid Rock t-shirt that I stole from my brother, they done shut the ball games down. They done shut the whole tournament down. They got kids off the field going around looking for me. Oh, yeah.
And they out there in the car listening to the radio.
Finally, somebody sees me and says, "You in a bind, buddy."
You don't even know.
You in a bind. And I said, "What is it?" "Your mom and daddy's looking for you, and they done shut this tournament down."
Shut her down.
And I said, "Oh, no." Mm-hmm.
You didn't.
Oh, he met me about halfway.
You probably wore that one, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. In front of God and everybody. Mm.
That was a whipping of love and passion all at the same time. Happy to have my boy back.
Yeah, it hurts you a lot worse than it hurts me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
A
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, we kept them on their toes.
I don't want to lose my babies.
No, that is definitely a fear of mine.
I don't ever want to experience that.
And then, but, you know, come to think of it, I did that, and y'all shut the tournament down. But then they left me at the ballpark one time and made it all the way to Sonic before they realized they had forgotten
Well,
me.
I had four kids.
Yeah. So I was
and
last
And we pulled one. Up and started ordering our food, and everybody had ordered. And I said, "Baylor, what do you want?" Baylor wasn't in the car.
I stood at the ballpark.
Just sitting there.
Baylor's listening to tunes in the radio.
Mm-hmm, that's right. 94.5. Yep. Left me right there. And I was still young enough. I was little. I didn't really like thunderstorms very much. I didn't really like storms. And it was storming. And I was up there by a concession stand. I remember right where I was at.
Baylor was over at a fireworks stand.
Yeah.
There's a movie about this, you know.
Trying to find me somewhere to get.
Well, I got one more that I want to tell.
Please do.
What? Oh.
I worked with a guy, and we all went in to the break room to eat lunch and play dominoes. Well, we was playing dominoes, and everybody knew you don't give Bobby Soap candy. It's just like plugging him into that light socket.
Light him up.
So this guy that's playing dominoes with us gets up and goes over to the candy bar and gets a Snickers bar. Well, he comes back and he unwraps it. Bobby said, "Before you put your big old lips on that thing, let me have a bite." Well, the old boy just pulled the wrapper completely off of it and took it and licked it.
Made him mad.
And he handed it over to Bobby. Bobby just took it from him, turned it around, licked the other side, and handed it back to him. So nobody
gets the candy bar.
Nobody gets a candy bar.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people are just plain spiteful.
That's right. Yeah.
Nobody going to eat that candy bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty clever. I don't know that I would have done that. I would have just walked away.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that either, but that is good stuff.
I've gotten two new ideas tonight. pop in a paper bag in a grocery store if you need somebody to surrender their grip. And then now, if somebody ever wants to be spiteful about me not getting
turn it over, give it a lick.
I guarantee
Bethany better watch out.
I guarantee I'll get a chance to use that one.
Yeah, I know you
with
will.
Them girls.
Yep.
Yeah, because you got all girls too, don't you? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee there'll be a moment in the coming future, and I'm going to apply what I learned tonight at the Hayden Alabama podcast. That's for sure.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
Let's do something a little different this week.
I'm ready. I'm always ready. Closing another word game.
It's not the word game. We're always trying new things, and I don't think that's bad. Just seeing if it might be funny or whatever. We have asked the Google machine for two bizarre non-political stories in the world that have happened recently. I'm going to do one. Shane's going to do the other. And we're just going to have a little fun talking about how this might have happened. The case of the missing toothbrush. 52 years later, a 64-year-old man in China's Anhui province underwent surgery to remove a toothbrush he had swallowed when he was 12 years old. Again, he's
52.
Well, this is 52 years later. He's 64.
Yeah.
He had been too afraid to tell his parents at the time and believed the brush would eventually dissolve. I've got questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
What is this toothbrush made out of?
I don't know. It should have dissolved, you would think.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I would have never thought that plastic, I assume plastic.
Mm-hmm. No, it wouldn't. I know it wouldn't dissolve because the other day I was digging around in the dirt and I found a plastic toothbrush.
Well, I was just thinking like your stomach acid should.
I don't think it made it that far.
Well, true. Well, where was it hung up at?
It didn't say. I imagine it was in
his gut. It had to go through the stomach acid.
Yeah.
I think it was in his gut. Had to have been. You would have felt that.
When absolutely. I think hung up. I'm thinking he swallowed it and like the bristles are
still. No, Lord, no.
Ain't no way.
Not for 52 years.
If that no man way. Could endure that for 52 years.
Yeah, I can't take something stuck in my tooth, much less a.
I got another question. How scared of your parents are you that you can't tell them that you swallowed it?
I understand. I get it.
And was he one of those kids that just has to push everything to the max?
Again, I understand.
You know what I'm saying? There's those kids. I mean, they're going to the limit every time. Now, I sympathize with him just a little bit. I like to brush my tongue. Are y'all tongue brushers?
I do.
Yes.
Yes. Sometimes, no. You know,
absolutely no way. I can't, you can't even begin.
What if he had a loose grip on it? What if he was?
See, that's what I don't understand about your statement.
Uh-oh.
You said you thought the bristles was up here. If you're brushing your teeth.
Well, how'd the bristles get turned around?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be easier explained than how you swallowed the toothbrush.
Maybe he wanted to be a magician. Here's like the quest. Sword swallower.
That's right.
And he was just starting kind of smaller, less sharp.
Is this how the next COVID pandemic starts?
Whoa. We can't talk about that. That's the only thing we can't talk about.
But is it?
Did it all begin?
From cutting the toothbrush.
From a toothbrush.
That's right.
That's how
it starts.
That's how a terrible rumor starts. Mm-hmm. Exactly that. You know what I heard on the Hayden Alabama podcast the other day? I just hope.
That's right.
And there it goes.
Mm-hmm. I just hope. You know what it was? Finally, he found someone he could trust.
Maybe his parents passed and he was like, okay, I know what I'm doing with my mom and dad died.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out.
Getting it removed.
Well, I'm going to tell you, surely he had x-rays.
Well, if it's plastic, though, it may not have shown up.
How old were his parents?
Well, if this, he said Chinese? He was
Chinese people live to be quite. They live a long
time. He's 64 at the day of surgery.
I bet his parents just. I guarantee you, his parents just passed.
That's right.
And he inherited this money, and they said, "What's the first thing you're going to do?
We're going to get
first thing going to do is get this toothbrush out
of this toothbrush out of me
every day when I'm walking."
He could have been practicing his sword swallowing skills, like you said, and they had told him, "Don't do that." Like that,
I warned you.
Don't touch that hot stove.
I warned you.
And he finally touches the hot stove, and everybody starts freaking out, and the parents are just like. I told him don't touch the stove.
What did he do to explain to his mom he needed a new toothbrush? Where did your toothbrush go?
I bet his breast stone. He probably just hadn't been brushing.
I bet he went to the store and got a replica.
You think he just did that on his own?
Yeah, well, I'm getting that money out of the sock drawer and I'm going to buy me a new toothbrush.
Yeah.
I do know that the reporting station here did a poor job because it left so many questions. Many questions.
Well, how do you eat Kung Pao chicken with a toothbrush in the tray?
Oh, now we're getting a little bit.
I mean, I'm just asking. I'm serious. I love it.
Oh, yeah. I love General Tso's, but I heard that that's kind of a United States thing.
Oh, is it?
I don't know that you can go.
That's definitely not Western civilization. That's more Eastern in it. Western.
There you go. Yeah. I was supposed to say.
Definitely not Eastern. Hold on it's now. More Western.
Yeah. I heard it would be disappointing.
Mm-hmm. That would be tough.
You know the old joke.
Uh-oh.
With air. That's not a piece of rice. That's a toothbrush.
Oh, boy. You know, we were talking about him. That young boy may have been going to the edge. I think Shane just went to the edge.
You can't carry nowhere, kid.
You can't carry no.
I don't think that joke's around anymore. That's only for us elderly.
There may be a reason it's not around anymore.
Oh, have mercy.
Let's get to the other story. I believe we've about squeezed all the juice out of this one.
Yeah, we're getting a little sideways. Yeah,
you're starting to get real creative.
Okay. All right. This one got me going pretty good because I've thought of a few things. Archaeologists unearth family recipes of Neanderthals. Archaeological evidence from two ancient caves in Israel suggests that Neanderthals in the area may have had different family recipes for preparing food despite using the same tools and hunting similar animals.
That makes sense to me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just like y'all are from Texas, guarantee y'all got some different recipes than we got.
Absolutely.
I was thinking more along the lines of, I'm afraid some of my family's recipes might have come from
this. Is it because they're real simple?
Well, I just feel like they're a little outdated, maybe.
But I think that if a recipe lasts the test of time like that, there's a reason.
It's got to be good.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's my logic, but you may have a different logic.
I'm just imagining a Neanderthal showing up with a plate of gelatin. Like, you remember the old gelatin?
Oh, yeah. Get a little fruitcake.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got the fruitcake.
It's got stuff in it, too. Yeah.
You brought the what? I don't think the fruit. I think the Neanderthals probably hated the fruitcake as much as it is hated nowadays.
So you're saying that recipe lasted because of spite?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're doing it just because. Mm-hmm. Not because it was good.
Mm. Well, you won't find a fruitcake in my house.
Uh-huh. I don't do fruitcake.
Well, the other thing I'm thinking, okay, recipes from Neanderthal. We know Neanderthals from what they say Neanderthals.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced.
What they say were pretty basic. Well, I don't even know if they
could they write.
They're basic.
I don't know. Probably
see,
not.
This is where it gets real.
Well, it's scribbled on the stone. Surely,
I got some friends that aren't, but about two generations away from these guys.
They didn't advance. They didn't advance fast.
I could probably ask them. How did your great grandfather do this?
It's like that scene in Forrest Gump. He said, here's where the normal student is right here.
Yeah.
Your boy's about right here.
Yeah.
I was thinking we could just go up to D.C. and find a few of them. Well,
crossed the line there, didn't I?
Yeah, you probably crossed the line, but before you cross the state line and the next state line, you're gonna find some in all places.
Oh man.
But some, I'm not even gonna touch that.
Will in Mississippi.
Uh oh.
And it's coming. Hey,
that's a jab. I just drove through there.
Okay, you just drove through.
Did just drive. Right. We got some good friends out. No, this ain't everybody in Mississippi now.
No, I like now, let's I say have that, friends from Mississippi too.
Now he is wearing a Texas A&M shirt. So if you'd like to, you want to give him your email because there's going to be probably some hate speech.
Come see me.
Don't. Don't come comment to us about what he just said. Didn't say that.
You see what I wore, didn't you?
A nice the wrong color. Salmon.
The long color.
So y'all are divided house.
No.
He's picking. He thinks he's being funny.
Mm.
The views expressed on this show are not necessarily the
Not Shane and Phillips.
That was my wife's idea. She wanted to get me a Longhorn sweatshirt to wear because he was wearing that one.
But who do you pull for?
A&M.
Okay, you do pull for A&M.
Yeah, we got too many
Neanderthals.
That's right. That's right.
Family recipes.
We got some high school football players that play there.
I got you.
Showing you your love and
support.
Well,
they're not playing there yet, but they've already committed.
They'll be seniors this year.
Well, if he's got 14 playoff appearances out of 15 years, I guarantee he's got some boys that played Division I football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty incredible what all he's put together there, and even the facilities. And I mean, there's colleges that don't have.
I mean, how many high schools around here has got an indoor practice facility?
Yeah,
we had one.
Well, gym.
Let's say,
The gym.
We just play basketball in it.
We practice volleyball in there, man. When we couldn't practice the football,
yeah.
Yeah, what's the story? You said you had a write-in story? Or is that just me? I thought you said you had a write-in story.
You had a write-in story.
You want me to go and tell the write-in story?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ready for that?
Oh, yeah.
Now, this write-in story, I'm not going to give the name because this individual is 12 years old. And he's a fan of the show. And his mom put it this way. He always lets us know when there's a new one to watch.
That's right.
So I love that, and thank you. You know who you are. Your mom wrote in because he told the story to his mom, and he said, I want you to write this to the Hayden Outbound podcast. So I'm going to do my best to recall it from memory.
Oh, you don't have it?
No, it's not. It's just right here.
She didn't write it?
No, she did, but I've just got it in my head.
Okay.
Like a steel trap.
I'm not sure it's a steel trap. It's more like a fishnet. But
it catches a few things.
It catches,
it's in there.
Yeah. I did a reel the other day about what to say when you can't remember somebody's name. You're like, hey, buddy, what's up, friend? Hey, pal.
I do it all day long.
That's right. Well, that's why I do that. I'm terrible with names, but for some reason, I can remember stories, maybe not verbatim, but pretty well. Because that's what's weird that I don't know that I would trade this in, but if I meet somebody for the first time, and this is the way that it always goes, they'll come up, they'll introduce themselves, hey, I'm Bob, whatever. And then if they'll go on to with the conversation, and then we stop. If we came back 5 minutes later, 5 years later, and said, hey, if he came up and said, what's my name? 99 out of 100 times, I'm not going to remember his name, but I say, hold on just a minute. And I could retell him every story that he told me during the conversation. Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it'd be a lot harder to remember the story than the single name.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way that it works with me. That's the way my brain works.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me get to the story.
Yeah, that was enough.
Goodness.
I'm going to do the Robin back pop on you. Okay, well, here's the story. He's a young boy. He's 12 years old. He's got an older brother. And they like to ride dirt bikes. Well, they struck out one day to ride dirt bikes, and they were specifically going to do some heel jumps. Uh-huh. That's what they were going to do. So you can see these two boys tearing out and going to do some heel jumps. Right before they arrive at the heel jump, the 12-year-old younger brother's bike starts, and it just quits.
he gets off the bike and he's just like we all have done if you've ever owned a dirt bike, just brr, 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 brr. Well, they get to doing some investigating. Big Brother does, and one of the first things he does, unloosens that gas tank, looks off in there, and it looks like the Sahara Desert. Mm-hmm. They ain't a drop of gas in it.
Yep. You ain't got no gas in it.
So he kicks out this kickstand, and the Big Brother says, here's what I can do, one of two things. I can go back to the house, get the four-wheeler, drive the four-wheeler back out here. We can both get on the four-wheeler and head back to the house, get some gas, and do the whole thing, get us back going again. Or you can hop on the back of my dirt bike, and I can take you. We can go on back to the house, get the gas, and come back out here.
Sounds like a poor decision mm-hmm. is going to be made.
That's what our young rider said. I didn't want to get on the dirt bike with my mm-hmm. older brother because even though it was a bigger dirt bike than mine, it's still not very big, and he knows how that older brother drives and figured he'd be wanting to clown around mm-hmm. on the way back.
Oh, yeah.
He did indeed get on the dirt bike with his brother. They went back and made it safe. But his takeaway from the story was this. He said, that's the way that he feels about Jesus. You're always going to have, or not, you're generally always going to have two choices. You're going to have a safe, sure way that you know is going to get you there and get the job done exactly like it's going to be. Or you can take the chance. So he was referring to his older brother as taking a chance and the dangerous way to go another path. But he said, you know, his choice was really to go get that four-wheeler, wow. get the job done and be safe. But he took a chance and went with his brother. It turned out that time. But I thought that was...
He didn't wreck.
They didn't wreck. So it turned out. But I thought that was pretty insightful from one of our young people yeah, to yeah. think, to take a good, situation man. Like that and relate it to Jesus. And
I'm glad that there's young kids out there that think like that.
Absolutely. Yep.
So his advice going forward to everybody would be always choose Jesus because he is the safest, most sure choice that you can
about
make.
That.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's a good story. Man. How did I do? Did I do okay?
good?
I think yeah, you did really good. Oh, as far as we know, because we don't know the whole story.
We don't know the story.
It sounded well, neither, good. Neither does anybody else but two other people in this entire world.
There you go. Yeah.
So thanks for the story. Thanks for allowing us to share that. That really touched my heart. That one that a young person wanted to be part of the show, that liked the show and wanted to share something with us.
I love it.
Yes. Yeah,
my little girl should have heard that story before she took a ride with Covey on his go-kart the other day.
Mm-hmm.
They were up there at the shed, and we had been riding back and forth a little bit. Holland was actually riding with me on the little motorbike.
Oh,
that we had.
I can't believe y'all both got on.
I could hold on to her. And
it's
ride
all.
It.
It's all it wants when you.
On. All it wants for me on there. Well, oh, big boy over here. Well, Covey decided. I said, hey, I got to go in here, go over to the house and pick something up. Well, Holland wanted to ride with Covey, and normally they immediately put the 5-point harness on. They smart. In the go-kart. Mm-hmm. They are in there. She said, do I have to buckle up? I said, you're just going across the driveway right there. Just go slow and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to give it one more last go down the hill. Well, Covey took that as a challenge. And I didn't know he was on it, but he was on it behind me. And he come across the terrace row. And when he come across the terrace row, the front wheels elevated, then the back wheels followed.
Ooh.
And when it did the little buck,
Bronco,
Holland looked like a flying squirrel. She come out the right side.
Oh, man.
And I thought, this ain't going to end well.
Mm-mm.
Not only was it not going to end well for Holland or Covey
you.
Or myself, because Sarah had left me in charge. She had ran to the grocery store.
Mistake one.
You were in the biggest bind of all.
I was in a bind, and it looked like slow motion. And she come out of that thing, and she had feet started coming overhead, and she just round and round and round. And I thought, this is bad.
Mm.
She stopped rolling, and I got my bike stopped. Covey's eyes were this big around. He had got his go-kart stopped. And she got up with the biggest smile on her face. Laughing, and I thought that wasn't nothing but the good Lord.
That's right.
That wasn't nothing right. but the good.
That Holy Spirit put a pillow down under that girl.
That's right. Yeah, it sounds like
Coco. I thought for certain we was going to emergency room.
She'll go nuclear in about 2 seconds.
In 2 seconds flat, she'll go from 0 to 100.
That's awesome.
But she just laughed,
And I said, baby, you okay? Yeah. I said, Cuffy, what were you doing? Well, I thought we were still racing. I said, no, we weren't still racing.
Mm-mm. When your sister's in the go-kart, racing's
over. Race is over with. That's exactly right.
But, baby, why didn't you have your seatbelt on?
Why didn't you have your seatbelt on? You told me I didn't have it on.
That's right.
You did tell her that?
Well, because they were just going across.
In charge.
That was me in charge. I did a good job.
How much trouble did you get into?
I didn't.
It's the first time anybody's heard about it.
It's probably the first time.
There you go.
Call me back in 3 weeks. Surprise. Yeah.
Just for reference, this is episode 131, yeah. I believe is what it's going to be.
We don't tell mama everything that happens.
Surprise.
No, you better not. Mm-mm. I got one more before we go to scripture time. I think that's all we got left. We bought a four-wheeler for my girls for Christmas when they were, I think, 6 and 4. This is their first mobile device. They had barely ridden bicycles. We should start them with a four-wheeler.
Yeah, that's a good choice. Yeah.
But I thought, you know, a quick, what do you call that, on board?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the brake. Here's the gas. This steers it left, right.
So simple.
Don't go very fast.
When you want to slow down, pull off the gas. When you want to go faster, mash it.
There you forward. Go.
Figure with it that, out. Did I pretty much cover it that's with that? It. Well, that's all about how long I spent with them on it. She takes out down the gravel driveway, and it's an eighth of a mile is how long the driveway is. And it kind of has an incline uphill, then it flattens out, and then it curves just a touch and then goes near the road, the main road. Not a main road. This is a
county road.
No, it's not even a county road. It's a, it has a street.
Subdivision.
It's not a subdivision. No, this is out of mama's house.
Oh, yeah.
Two lane, you know.
Country road.
From the time that she left me, eighth of a mile later, every bit of orientation that she got on the four-wheeler had been deleted from her brain. It was like Bob's name when I first meet Bob. It's gone. She's headed through the cattle gate, and the road is next. Mm. We're at the same rate of speed, and it is quickly approaching.
Is this your oldest?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look left.
Oh, no.
Didn't look right. Just straight out on the road with a big smile. And now we're starting to brake since we're in the middle of the road. Turns it around and then comes back down the driveway. I am losing my mind because
you're going stop.
I'm saying a lot of things that high pitch, you know. But it's just the good Lord. If it had been a car coming in either direction, there's nothing they could have done because, I mean, she never even looked.
How old was she?
About 6 years old.
Golly. No danger.
Guess what happened to the four-wheeler after that? It went right back in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And the key got pulled out of it. And I said, we're not ready yet.
We ain't ready.
No, we'll have another class.
No, we got to have more than a 35-second orientation before we ride this thing again.
Yeah.
But you take it for granted. I grew up on – I don't ever remember not having a three-wheeler, a motorcycle, four-wheeler, dirt bike, something.
Yeah.
So I've just always known how to ride them, taking advantage that how in by osmosis. I'm not sure how they got that knowledge, but I thought they got it, you know. They didn't get it.
They didn't get it.
So you got to be careful, brother. We're both learning lessons.
Learning lessons for
our parenthood. Before we move on to scripture time, Baylor has a powerful testimony that he's agreed to share with us, and we love a good testimony. We love to brag on Jesus. So, Baylor, take it away.
Yeah. This actually is something that happened, I guess, the first part of this year. And I was brought up in church with my parents, and my mom's dad was a preacher. And so I was brought up, you know, knowing the Lord and going to church. And I guess you could say we were drug babies, not because they was on dope, but because we was drugged to church every time the doors was open. So grew up knowing right and wrong and the Lord and all that. But as we all do, or I say all, I know I did, you kind of go on about your own deal and do stuff your own way. And I did that for a long time and ended up having my kids and this, that, and the other, and have been kind of on a journey, with some guys at my church and just kind of the past, I would say probably 3 or 4 years, just desiring, you know, a closer connection, a little deeper, just knowing that you wasn't doing all you know, not out of striving, but just wasn't doing what I was called to do.
Yeah.
And so I had a season for where I just was hearing from the Lord all the time, just downloading, you know, just whether that's an audible voice or however people hear from the Lord, you know what I'm saying. And then once you kind of turn away and you kind of get back in your old habits of doing your own deal, and you just you feel like you're not hearing from the Lord. And then if you do feel like you hear from him, well, I'm not doing right. So that, and you know, it's just the devil playing games with you. And so I had been in the Word and just seeking to hear from the Lord, and not out of testing him, but you know, just I need to know, you know, and because he had been putting some pretty heavy stuff on me. And I needed to know that this wasn't Baylor. You know, I didn't know this Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And so we were getting ready to go to Puerto Rico. And I was in the bottom hunting pigs one night. And it's funny how just out of the blue, he laid it on me. And just basically, I was going to meet somebody that had on a red shirt that I was supposed to give a word to in the airport. And I was like, come on, Lord.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah, like a red shirt. And come on, man. You know, so I go about my deal. This is about a week out from getting ready to leave. So I don't say nothing to anybody, none of my family, none of that. And I'm just praying. And I'm like, what's his name going to be? And he's like, nah, I'm not going to tell you his name. That's have a red shirt on. And it's in my spirit. I just keep discerning that you're going to know who you need to, you know, talk to. So we get to the airport, and Ohio State had just played in Dallas. Ohio State, red, black, silver, white, that's their school colors. I don't know if you know how many people were at DFW with red on after the Ohio State Buckeyes played, but it was a lot. So I walk in, and I'm like, now you're just messing with me, Lord.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got – every joker from Ohio in this airport right now with a red shirt on. How am I supposed to know? And, you know, he just tells me again, you'll know. So we get on the plane. We're flying. I'm not even really thinking about it no more. We're probably halfway there. And this guy gets up and walks past me going to the bathroom. I don't think nothing of it. But when he walks back past me to his seat, the Lord tells me, he's like, there, that's him. And he did. He had on a red, just an Under Armour t-shirt and some black pants. But he looked like The Rock. I mean, big, jacked up, bald-headed, I mean, sleeve, tattooed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? That's, you know, I mean, I'm not bad enough for getting a fist fight with Deontay Wilder.
Right.
But.
Crazy enough. There
you crazy go. Enough yeah. that I'll do it, but I didn't want to have to visit with this fella no. either. You know what I mean? So, anyways, I have to finish my flight now knowing that, all right, this is who the Lord wants me to visit with. So, long story short, we get to the airport. We go to get our rental car. Actually, no, we're at the baggage claim. He's there with his family. I don't say anything to him. We go to get our rental car. He's there with his family. I don't say anything to him. We go to the garage waiting on our rental car, and the Lord asked me, all right, Peter, this is the third time now. I done told you on the airplane. I've been telling you for a week. You want to know. You want some confirmation? I'm finna give you some right here, big son, but you're gonna have to step out and do it. And our biggest deal at our church is hear and obey. You know, you hear from the Holy Spirit and you obey. It doesn't matter what that is, what it looks yeah. like, at all costs, hear and obey. And so he put it on me like that, and I was like, man. So I just ease over. I didn't say nothing to nobody, but I was just like, you sorry rascal, you better get over and say something.
Yeah.
And so. And who am I for him to use? Because I know all the things about me. You know what I mean? And there's going to be a lot of folks that watch this that I'm sure know about me too. And so that just goes to show, you know, if me. So I went over there to the dude and I said, hey, man. I told Dad when I got back, I said, I looked like such a buckethead because I didn't know what to say. And I don't have a problem talking to nobody. So that was a shock. But I walked over there and I was like, hey, man, you waiting on your rental? And I told Dad if it had been me, I'd be like, no, I'm waiting on a train.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We've both been sitting here for 30 minutes waiting on a rental.
Right.
Good observation, yeah. Sherlock. So anyways, I was just like, you waiting on your rental? Yeah. So we start talking stuff. I was like, hey, man, are you a Christian? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, you care if I tell you something? I ain't going to freak you out. And he was like, no, go ahead. And so I just shared word with him that the Lord had given me for him. And it was about breakthrough and not giving up, and that the Lord, you know, just wanted him to know how close he was to whatever this was that he was looking for. And this dude, I'm the Rock, starts boohooing.
Crying. I'm
talking alligator tears. Yeah. I mean, just, yeah. And so I finished telling him whatever, and he calls his wife over there. He's like, you got to hear this. So I tell her. And anyways, he had been praying for something. And I mean, this has been going on for a long time, that he had been just a specific prayer. And anyways, his wife had gotten this blessing that he had been praying for that she didn't even ask, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets mad. They leave church. I think it was either the Wednesday night before, or maybe the week before that Sunday, but he had left church, whatever the last time he went that night, it was an evening service. He left church mad and said he wasn't going back. Was done. And so here I am asking the Lord in Texas, just use me on this vacation to, you know what I mean? And then there's 1,000 people there with red shirts on. He tells me on the airplane, he gives me 3 chances. I finally do it. Was just a on time word for this guy. He ends up messaging me on Facebook while we're there. And the next day we met up with their family at the beach, and I just brought my Bible and visited with him, shared some stuff and this, that, and the other. When I asked him while we were talking, I was like, man, have you ever been baptized? And he was like, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, and I was like, no, like, cause he was Puerto Rican. I was like, no, cause he was talking about Catholic,
Church, like Christian,
which is fine, but he was, you know, and I was like, no, like water baptism. And he was like, oh, no. And so I just started sharing with him about that and talking to him about that. And that went on for probably 30 minutes or so. And I just said, hey, man, you know, I think the Lord's put on my heart that if you want to be baptized, I'll baptize you right here. And what better place? You know, this guy's he was just there visiting too, but he's a career military. He's in the Army 17 years. And I said, what better place in your home? You're in Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so anyways, I said, I won't, you know, no pressure. I want you to pray about it, where you and your wife visit about it. And I did end up getting a baptism there in the ocean. And so I called my pastor when we left, and I was like, dude, man, you got to hear this.
That's a good
story. I was like, dude, I was going to wait until I got home, but you got to hear this. And I wasn't even thinking until after I got off the phone. I don't think I've said his name yet, but after I got off the phone, it's clicked in my head. And then I had to get my phone back out, and I texted him, and I was like, bro, it just clicked in my head. His name is Emmanuel.
God with us.
And I'd been asking for a week, what's his name? What's his name going to be? I ain't telling you his name. You'll know.
Yeah. Pretty strong name. Yeah.
Man. And so for me, it was just super, like I said, I think that we can a lot of times put too much pressure on ourselves, or be striving or seeking perfection or this, that, and the other. You're not going to get there. None of us are. And I saw a deal on Facebook the other day. If we all had what we deserved, we'd be on the cross.
That's right.
There's no level, you're not going to wake up one day and aha, I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
The box is checked. There ain't nothing about it that's going to be easy.
Right. We're all broken.
That's right.
The sooner that you can get to that place and realize that you're all broken, you're in a better place then, because then you realize that everything's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And if God can speak through a donkey,
that's right.
I reckon He can speak through any believer.
That's exactly right.
You know, man, that's a cool story.
Yeah. But I thought that was – I try to talk to him every week.
Oh, y'all still in touch?
Oh, yeah. He's came and spent the weekend, went to church with us, and
– spoke at your church, didn't he?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. And then
– how did he respond to you? Did you tell him the backstory? Oh, of course you did, I'm sure.
As far as
getting the word up while hunting.
Oh, yeah. Because I could prove it to him, because I had it all wrote down, because I write everything down that I hear. because I'm so busy and stuff, and I don't want to forget anything. So that when I'm in my word, I have a journal that I keep with my Bible, and I write. I'm bad about writing in my Bible, and then I write everything down in this journal. And so I could go back and show him, and I'll date it. I mean, you can't make it up. I mean,
documented. It's
bang, 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 bang. And it was stuff that I was, it helped me because it was words that the Lord was giving me for me, but I wasn't sure. You know what I mean? You start playing those games with yourself.
And the devil's good at talking to you too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He loves to create doubt.
But whenever old buddy just started boohooing like that, and he won't be mad at me for saying that, but whenever I saw I didn't miss, I was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
Really? Because I was like, man, if I'm wrong, he's going to be like,
crazy.
Good word, brother. Yeah. Have a good one, man. Be blessed, you know. But, I mean, it was just.
Cool story. Yeah. Man, that's a great testimony. Appreciate you sharing you that. You ready for scripture time?
I'm ready if you are.
We're going to switch it up today.
Yep.
Shane's got the word for us.
I got us. So today, I was actually thinking about this yesterday, but I thought about reconciliation and how a lot of us we've reconciled with God, but we've not reconciled with the church or with others, and how important that is. So we'll be in Matthew today in the 5th chapter and the 23rd verse. And it says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. How important it is in our lives. We understand that we're wanting to work for the Lord. We want to do things for the kingdom of God. But this is red letter. Jesus Christ himself said, if you're trying to work for me and you remember that you have someone that has an ought against you, the first thing you've got to do before you continue to work for me is you have to go reconcile with that brother. And that goes with anything in our life. If we've got some conflict or some issue with the church or within our lives with other Christian brothers and sisters, we've got to reconcile with that before we can go further with the Lord. Otherwise, we just won't find peace. We won't find the joy. We won't find the happiness. And from this instruction here, we're actually disobeying God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people.
It is.
But if you think back over your life, think back over the times when you've had, maybe you've done something that maybe you didn't think was too bad, but your fellow Christian brother or sister took offense to it. What's one of the first things we do? No, that's not my fault. I'm not going to fix that. But what Christ says do is go and try to fix it first. And then you can come back and you can worship, you can work. But until you get those things fixed, there's an order for all of this. And I think that that's the great takeaway is if you have things out of order in your life, they're out of order all over. You've got to have everything in order. And maybe this will encourage some others that are out there. Maybe you've had some trouble. Maybe you can't find peace or can't find the happiness. I've reconciled with God. Well, make sure that you've also reconciled with the church and reconciled with your other Christian brothers and sisters.
It's a good word.
Good stuff.
Tough word.
It is a tough word.
It is tough.
For sure.
I mean, this isn't something to downplay. We all love to dodge it.
Yeah.
And just pretend it didn't happen.
Pretend it didn't happen. Yeah.
But if you're looking for peace, it's the recipe. Not Neanderthal.
Not Neanderthal recipe.
That's right. The real recipe.
The real recipe.
Mm-hmm. From a cookbook.
From the best book.
From the good
from
book.
The holy book.
The holy book. Amen to that. Well, fellas, appreciate y'all riding out. Y'all made a big commitment to come out here and visit us today, fellowship, and tell some stories, bring a powerful testimony. And we're honored to be the recipients of y'all's kindness.
Heck yeah, man.
I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yep. Glad we can be here.
Well, that's going to do it tonight of the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Baylor.
Carl.
We'll see you guys next week.